Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 through 11. Now, this has to do with what we have just done. Read aloud with me, please. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? There's a terribly important principle in that passage of Scripture that is the key to communing with God and receiving instruction and guidance from God. I believe that most Christians, I believe every Christian, deep down, wants to know what God's will is for their life and wants to do it. But I find in counseling particularly, and talking with other Christians, that probably the greatest weakness in the body of Christ is the average Christian does not know how to get guidance from the Lord for specific day-to-day decisions. Most Christians do not know how to make contact with their Heavenly Father and receive guidance in the day-to-day decisions that they have to make. The principle that Jesus is talking about here is one that I have never heard expounded concerning receiving instruction and guidance from the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what I have learned from my own experience in putting this passage of Scripture to work in my own life, and why I get communication from the Lord, why I have His guidance, why I'm able to discern His voice, why when I need to make a decision on something, why I don't have difficulty establishing which is God's way and which is not God's way. Most folks that I talk to, their story goes something like this. I need to make a decision concerning a job, let's say. And I don't know what to do. And I'll say, well, have you asked the Lord? Well, yes. Well, what did He say? Well, I don't know. Now, if that's where you are, you've done about as much as you know how to do. You've asked God, but you don't know what He said. So you don't know where to go from there. What do I do now? This passage of Scripture is the answer. Now let me read it again. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. How many of you believe that Jesus always told the truth? Always. Every time. All right? How many of you think that Jesus ever told a lie? How many of you think that Jesus ever shaded the truth at all? How many of you think that Jesus knew what He was talking about every time He spoke? How many of you believe that Jesus never spoke anything of Himself, but only what His Father gave Him that He spoke? How many of you believe that? It's exactly and absolutely true. All right, then, how many of you believe that these words are true? Let's read them again. Verse 8, and this is the key verse. For every one that asketh, receiveth. No, just stop there. That's all right. That's enough. Read that part with me again. For every one that asketh, receiveth. Now suppose I say to you, what did God say when you asked Him? You say, well, He didn't give me any answer. What is that? It's a lie, isn't it? Because what's the truth? Everyone that asketh receiveth. Now, if everyone that asketh receiveth, and you asked and didn't receive, and God can't lie in His word, then where do we look for the solution? In us. Let's suppose that you have four television sets in your house. And let's suppose they are all tuned to channel 5. And let's suppose that one of those television sets, which is the one that you are watching, all of a sudden a picture goes, boom. No picture anymore. Immediately you call the television station. And you begin to berate them, and what's the matter with their signal, and how come they're not sending anymore? Right in the middle of the fourth quarter, bingo, they stop sending the signal. And they say to you, do you have another television set in your house? You say, yes. Would you go try that one? You go try the other one, and it works. There they are, just as clear as a bell, just the way they were. Now, what does that tell you about the first television set? Something wrong with the receiver, isn't there? Anything wrong with the sender, there's something wrong with the receiver. There's a connection that's not matched up right. Something is broken in there. Something has been separated in there. The signal is still going out because it's coming in your basement, but it's not coming in your TV room. All right, what's wrong with the receiver? Hold your finger right there and go to Hebrews chapter 6. Or Hebrews 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Read with me, please, the 6th verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, out of that scripture verse, what is required to receive guidance from God? Faith. You must believe that He's going to give it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh must first of all believe he is, and in other words, he exists, and that there really is a God there, and secondly, must believe that this is a God that will reward the one that diligently seeks Him. Most Christians, the reason they do not get their prayers answered and they do not have a two-way communication with God is because they don't believe God is an answering God. They believe that they can pray and that He'll hear, but they believe He doesn't have a mouth. They think He can receive, but they don't think He can send. And if you don't think God can send, then you're not going to receive anything, because it's by faith that you receive anything from God. Only by faith. Now, if you ask and you do not receive, in the vast majority of cases, it's because you didn't believe you were going to receive, or you weren't sure you were going to receive, therefore you did not. Now turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. We begin to read in verse 5. You just follow and let me read this, because I want to amplify it as we go. Verse number 5. If any of you, does that include all of us? Everyone, anybody here that is not an any of you? Okay. If any of you lack wisdom. Now, if you're like me, you think that wisdom is some great big ethereal thing up here that nobody could ever achieve to, unless you had were educated at a major university and had all of this intellectual stimulus and intellectual training, you could achieve wisdom. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do and the right time to do it. Wisdom is being able to choose the proper course of action. If you go down to the grocery store and you don't know whether to buy Florida oranges or California oranges, you need wisdom as to which oranges to buy. You need guidance and wisdom. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do. It's simply that. The proper course or choice of action. That's what wisdom is. Now, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack guidance, if any of you lack instruction, if any of you lack the knowledge of what to do in a given situation, whether it's taking a job, whether it's moving to another house, whether it's which person to marry, whether it's what kind of a shirt to buy, no matter what it is, whether it's to invest your money in this thing or in this thing, whether it's to spend your money or to save your money, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to a few men occasionally. Now that's the way most Christians pray. They ask of God, believing that occasionally God will answer a really sincere prayer. No, that's not what it says. Let him ask of God, that giveth to all. You see the word men there? You notice that that's in italics in your Bible? Now that means that that is not in the original translation. It was added by the translators. It's not in the Greek. It's added by the translators to improve the reading. Now what the word literally says is that giveth to all, men and women. Boys and girls, you see, giveth to all, how? Liberally. Do you know what liberally means? Generously, overflowing, abundantly. God is not a stingy God. In the same way he gave you an abundant salvation, he also gives you an abundant wisdom. Liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now that's God's promise. God said in his word, if that I lack wisdom, that the way I'm supposed to get the information I need is I'm supposed to ask God, and I'm supposed to know that God gives to everybody liberally, that he won't upbraid me, and he'll not chide me, and he won't rail at me. He won't make me feel like a donkey because I don't know the right choice. A lot of Christians won't even ask God because they think that he'll be angry at them because they don't know what to do by themselves. And there are many Christians that will not ask God for simple things. They say, oh, well, I'll ask him if I ever have to decide whether I'm going to bomb Russia or not. But any decision less important than that, I'm supposed to take care of myself. You would never go before God and bother him about what kind of a shirt to buy or what kind of a present to buy your husband or what kind of a gift to get your boss. That would be too insignificant. God's given us a brain and he expects us to use it. God's given us his spirit. He's given us his wisdom. He's given us his word. He expects us to come to him for all of our needs. I don't know how it is with you, but I can tell you how it is with me. When I got out of my mind and into my spirit, I began to have a whole lot more liberty. I began to have a whole lot more joy. I began to have a whole lot more peace in my life when I stopped trying to figure out things with this beautiful mind that God gave me. And got out of that and got into the Word of God and into his guidance and his wisdom. And it shall, the Word says, be given him. Now, is it interesting that James said exactly the same thing that Matthew records Jesus saying? For everyone that asketh receiveth. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to every man liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now you listen carefully to this, because if you have not been confronted with this, you will be. This consumes the vast majority of my personal ministry to other people. This very subject that we're dealing with tonight. How to find the will of God. How to know God's will. How to get the wisdom and guidance and direction and instruction in the affairs of life. How to get communication from God. How to get your television set tuned into heaven. The Word says that if we'll ask of God, it shall be given him. Verse number 6, but. Very important but. But let him ask in faith. Why? Because without faith it's impossible to please God. You can't receive anything from God without believing in him. He's not some turnip farmer up there in heaven. He says, believe in me. Put your trust in me. Establish yourself in my word and believe that I'm going to do it. Let him ask in faith. That's why he requires your faith. If you do not operate in faith, you will not receive it. I don't care how you agonize. I don't care how long you pray in tongues. I don't care how many people you get to agree with you. I don't care how many hands you get laid upon you. I don't care how many prophets of God speak to you. If you will not believe, you will not get God's answer, and you will operate in confusion until you come to that place where you finally say, okay, go ahead. I'm ready. I'll do it now, whatever you want. Now, why don't we just learn how to do it in the first place? It becomes so normal and just nice and natural, and we just go on with God. He speaks to us and tells us what to do. We obey him, and things work out the way it's supposed to. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, when you pray, asking God for his wisdom and his guidance and his instruction, if you will not pray believing that he's going to answer you, the word says that you'll get nothing. You'll get absolutely nothing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, let me tell you what a double-minded man is. A double-minded man is a man that says, oh, I need this answer from God. I need to know whether I'm supposed to take this job or not. I'm going to ask God and he'll tell me. Is that you, God? Well, I don't know about that. This over here. Well, I don't know, but maybe. That's a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He'll never receive anything from God. And the only cure for that is faith. Pure and simple faith in the Word of God. And God's Word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to every man liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. Now that's how you can stop confusion. Now let me explain to you how this, go back to Matthew 7 again. I promise you that if you will receive this word into your spirit tonight, I promise you it will make as big a difference in your Christian life as anything else that you have ever heard. This truth right here. Because what it does is it plugs your receiver into the giver of all wisdom and all knowledge. You be plugged in. All right. Jesus in Matthew 7 tells us something about the character of God, our Father. In verse number 9, he compares our relationship with God, our Father, to a relationship between an earthly child and his father. And he said, what man, verse 9, is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Now he says, those of you that are fathers, you understand the heart of a father. Is there any one of you that if your child were to ask you for a piece of bread, that you'd give him a stone? It's a stupid kind of a question, isn't it? The answer is obvious. No, of course not. He said, or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a serpent, a snake? Here, son. Here. Here's your fish. Here's your fish. Here's your fish, son. Here's your fish. He puts out his hand, a snake bites him. Can you imagine a father like that? He said, if you then, being natural men or evil men, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, if you won't give a snake in place of a fish or a stone in place of a piece of bread, don't you think your heavenly Father knows how to give you good things? The strength of that is that when you ask God for something, He will not give you something else. If you ask Him for guidance concerning your job, He's not going to tell you about the price of tea in China. When you ask Him for wisdom about your life's partner, He's not going to lead you into a terrible kind of a lifelong tragedy. When you ask Him about a job, what job should I take? He's not going to lead you into some dead-headed organization. If you ask Him for a piece of bread, bless the Lord God, He'll not give you a stone. He'll give you a piece of bread. Jesus said, James went on to say, all you have to do is just believe it. Just believe it. Now, it sounds real simple, doesn't it? But it doesn't quite work that simple, does it, in actual practice? It doesn't, because we're so thick-headed sometimes. Let me tell you how it works in actual practice. This is, I just share my experience with you, what the Lord has shown me in the Word. I can share it with you because I know it to work. I know it to be true. I have proven it out in the laboratory of my own life. I have proven it out in the laboratory of other people's lives. And I know that I can give you this word, and I know that I can give you this instruction, and I know that I can give you this practical help. And if you will believe what the Word of God says, you can go out of here tonight with a clear, sharp picture on channel number heaven. It is unfortunate. Most Christians never have had a clear picture out of heaven, or once or twice maybe they got a clear reception on the heavenly channel. God's sending clear all the time. There's anything wrong with the way He's sending. Now let me explain to you how it works. And let's suppose you have two choices to make. Let's just take a simple choice. You're going to buy a present for your mother-in-law. She lives in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you haven't seen her for a while. You don't know how big she is. You don't know what colors she's wearing. You don't know too much about what her needs are. But you'd like to buy her something personal. You could buy her probably a bracelet, and you wouldn't have to be concerned about the size. You want to buy an article of clothing. You go into the department store, and you come to the Spirit of the Lord seems to lead you to the sweater counter, and you're looking at sweaters. And you don't know whether to buy the red one or the blue one. And you say to the Lord, Lord, you don't say it out loud. No, too many people around, you know, and they don't need to know what's going on anyway. You say in your inner, on the inside, you say, Lord, which color should I buy? And right then, the first thought that comes into your mind, that's God's answer. The first thought that comes into your mind is God's answer. Why is it God's answer? For he that asketh receiveth. Now, I'll tell you what most people do, and I did it too. You're looking at the sweaters, and you don't know whether to buy the red one or blue? Red or blue? And you say, Father, which one should I buy? And for a minute, nothing, and then all of a sudden, just this thought comes, the red. She's probably got a bunch of red sweaters. No, I don't. No, maybe the blue. And then a thought will come, Yeah, the blue probably would be better. Now, you're right back where you started, aren't you? Anybody ever been there? Every day, 100 times a day. Isn't that the way we live as Christians? God doesn't want us to live that way. Do you know why we live that way? Because we didn't believe Him in the first place and buy the blessed red sweater. Now, this is what happens. When you ask God, He says red. But most Christians, you see, they hear other Christians say, well, the Lord said, God spoke to me. I was agonizing in prayer one day, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I've had 5 confirmations this week concerning thus and so. And here we are in the middle of Davidson's wanting to decide between a blue and a red sweater. There isn't time to get 5 confirmations. There's no one else to agree with in prayer. And it would be very unlikely that there would be a quiet place where you could go off and intercede in agonizing prayer for the red sweater. And so when God speaks to us with the still small voice on the inside, we say, well, it couldn't be God. It just wasn't powerful enough. I want to ask you this question. If you were God, and you lived on the inside of me, right in here, where would you talk to me? Would you rent a Skywriter? Would you draw me a map on the floor of the department store? Write it out there, something? Would you cause an earthquake at the Cumberland Mall? How would you talk to me if you lived on the inside? Would you jump outside and scream in my ear? How would you do it? You'd speak to me on the inside, where you live. Now, God lives inside us, doesn't He? Why do we expect Him to speak outside with a great, big, powerful, audible voice? That doesn't make any sense. How do you suppose He spoke to Jesus? There are only 2 recorded occasions in the New Testament where He spoke to Jesus in the audible voice, and that was not for the benefit of Jesus, it was for the benefit of the people around Him. Jesus walked up and down the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum and the streets of Nazareth and the streets of Jerusalem, and His Father spoke to Him constantly, and no one else ever heard it. Why not? Because God spoke on the inside. How did He speak to Jesus? I'm going to tell you how He spoke to Jesus. Exactly the same way He speaks to you and me. And if you want something else, you can live the rest of your life without, because there isn't anything else. This is God's way on the inside. Go back into the book of Kings and see the prophet Elijah up on the top of the mount. And watch there as the earthquake and the mount shook and the stones and rocks and everything flew every which way. And the word of God says, but the voice of God was not in the earthquake. Elijah had asked him a question. Subsequently, there came a great wind storm on the mountain. And it blew every which way. And as the storm finished, God was not in the storm. And then the word says that fire enveloped the mountain. After the fire, God was not in the fire. After all of those great demonstrations came the still small voice of God speaking to Elijah the same way He speak to you, the same way He'd speak to me. Now, this is what happens. We don't believe, you see, that's not a strong enough voice for us to obey. As if the decision between a red and a blue sweater was all that significant. And so we say that we get this thought, red sweater, and we forgot that Jesus said if we ask our Father for a piece of bread, He wouldn't give us a stone. And we don't relate it to the fact that if we ask Him what color sweater, He's not going to tell us the wrong one. And so we say, well, red, she's probably got 100 red sweaters. Probably Uncle John's going to buy her a red sweater this year. And instantly, we get choice number 2. And that is the enemy. Once you refuse God, once you turn your back on the voice of God, once you turn away in doubt and unbelief, you allow the enemy to come in. He'll come in and give you a stone. And there you are. You don't know which decision to make. You're right back where you started from. Now, I'll tell you how to handle that when you're right back where you started from. You say, Father, anytime you have confusion, now you have the devil. God's word says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen? Are you still here? All right. Anytime you have confusion, God's not in it. It's the enemy. When you have confusion, I tell you something I find that works for me. I say, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Father, let's start all over again now. I'm going to believe you this time. Which one should I buy? The first thought, I'll have my money on the counter for the red sweater. Now, do you know what happens when you buy the red sweater? You can also choose sizes that, well, what size? Well, buy a 40, buy a 32, whatever. Whatever comes into your mind, just go on and buy it. See, God knows what size your mother-in-law is. Some of you think I've gone daffy. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. It's the truth. God's word's true. He knows, you see, what's going on in Colorado Springs. He knows what to buy. Now, sure as you buy your mother-in-law that red sweater will fit perfectly with something else that Uncle John bought her. Sure as you buy her the red one, it'll work just perfectly into her wardrobe. Sure as you follow the leading of God, it'll be just absolutely right. But let's suppose you missed it. Let's suppose you did miss it. So she's got a red sweater she can't use. What has it hurt you? What has it troubled you to go on and obey what you believe to be the voice of God so that when you get ready to make a decision on whether to have another baby or not, when you get ready to make a decision on whether to adopt a child or not, when you get ready to make a decision as to spend $75,000 on a new home or not, when you decide whether you're going to call a particular man to be a pastor in your church, when you decide which man or which woman you're going to join yourself to for the rest of your life, you will know how to hear the voice of God. You will have learned how to discern the voice of the Spirit of God. You will know how to receive guidance and wisdom and direction from Him so that you can make the major decisions of life. God gives wisdom to His children. The word in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12 through 14. My prayer is that you receive what I'm sharing with you tonight. It is so important. It's so important. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now the Word of God says that in the body of Christ there are babes and there are full grown, and there are those that are at various stages of growth in between. It is the desire and the will and the purpose of God and the work of His Spirit to cause us to grow from babyhood to manhood. He wants us no longer sucking on that bottle, but He wants us sitting down to the prime rib. Verse 14. Strong meat, prime rib, belongeth to them that are full age. How do you get full grown in the Christian faith? By reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, we get our senses exercised so that we can discern the difference. So we get God's wisdom on whether to buy a red or a blue sweater for the mother-in-law in Colorado Springs. We ask God for His guidance and His wisdom as to where we're to have dinner tonight or where we're to have lunch tomorrow. We ask God for His guidance as to whether we're to date this boy or to date this girl. We ask Him for His guidance as to whether we're to put this person in charge of that project or that person in charge of that project. We ask the Lord for His guidance as to whether we're to buy padded chairs or plain old folding chairs. We ask the Lord to tell us whether we're to put a new cross up here or whether we're to leave the old one up. So that when we get ready, you see, when we get ready to make the major decisions, we have our senses exercised. Like you take your arm and you go like this, you see, and you get your muscles exercised when you're going to have to do a major work with your arms. Is that right? If you're going to run a race, what do? You get your body in shape so that you can run. And it's the same if you're running a spiritual race. If we want God to give us guidance in the major issues of life, we must learn by having our senses exercised. We must learn how to discern the difference between good and evil. And this is how it is done. By the way, have you noticed what the Spirit of God did on this cross? How many of you can see it from there? This, I mean. You see this? You see this? You see this? You see this? Can you see it? Now, the man that stained that cross said he didn't do anything except just put the stain on it. And it was not on there when he stained it. I mean, there was no discoloration on the cross when it was stained. Is that right? And that as the cross was stained, he didn't even notice what was happening. I think maybe he did over on this one. I think maybe he told me that he did over here. But when it was all done, here are the marks. And interestingly enough, there's a trickle here. I can see it here. I don't know if you can. There's a trickle here. There's a trickle here. And there's like a swipe here. You tell me that our God doesn't know what He's doing. Tell me that He does not know everything that's going on. He knows how many hairs you have on your head and how many you have on your face. And He cares about every one of them. You know, if God has that kind of ability and that kind of a care, don't you think that He would do what His Word says and give you guidance, no matter what it is? It matters not what your decision is. It matters not what the problem is that you're faced with. If you will believe that God will give you an answer, God will. Let me give you I'm going to give you just a couple of personal experiences just by way of testimony. And then we just see how the Lord leads. As most of you know, I've been a businessman all my life, and I run a sales and service business. And several years ago, I've been in the same kind of business for 20-some years. And our industry and the businesses even that I have run have been ones that generally have a lot of turnover, where you hire people and train them, but they don't seem to last, and you have to turn them over. They don't all do well. And if you hire 5 or 6 people, maybe you get 1 or 2 that, you know, really able to do the job well, and the rest of them turn over. Since I've come to know Jesus as my Savior and come to know that He wants to guide me in everything I do, the way I hire my people is on my knees. And I asked the Lord, I said, should I hire this one? Or should I hire that one? And the first answer I get, doesn't matter how good the guy looks, doesn't matter how bad the guy looks, if he looks good and the Lord says no, I'm sorry. I hired a serviceman that way. I got Jerry Earnhardt, you know, is my service manager, some of you, and the two of us, we'd interviewed this fella, and he was, I mean, there's just no way in the world that this man could ever have made. He had everything wrong with him. He had never held a job longer than 8 months. His family was in total disarray. He had absolutely no kind of technical experience or office experience. He'd come and he'd worked in a warehouse. That's about all he'd done. He had nothing going for him. There was no way that he could even meet the public. We talked there, and to him, and I interviewed him because he was an acquaintance of one of our salesmen. And after I asked him to leave and just go out and sit down, and Jerry and I get down beside the desk and we begin to pray. And Jerry knows how to get guidance from the Lord too. And so we ask the Lord, and he says, hire him. Just two words, hire him. So we got up off our knees. I said, what'd you get? He said, hire him. I said, hire him. So, so we went out and we called the fellow to come in. We found out subsequently, we hired him. He's been with us now, I guess, about 3 years. He turned out to be one of the best servicemen we've ever hired. He is, you wouldn't believe the change in his personal life. I mean, he doesn't look like the same man. And he's now selling for us. He's now in a sales career. Now, if we weren't open to the Lord, he'd probably still be unloading trucks somewhere. While Jerry and I were praying, this fellow told us this subsequently. He was in the next room, like we'd be praying here, and he was on the other side of the wall, sitting in a chair in the sales room that's there. And no, he didn't hear anything, but he said, all of a sudden, he said, something just got him, like, and the way he described it was that he just, like, come up out of the chair for a minute. Something just hit him. Didn't know what it was. Well, we knew what it was, the Spirit of God. Anyway, we hired him. He turned out to be a really super guy. We don't have any turnover in that company at all. The last salesman that we hired was, I think, 4 years ago. I mean, they just don't turn over. In 1976, we were looking for a new line of equipment. A related line, but one that would be non-competitive to one we were handling. Now, I'm talking practical things, all right? So that you understand that God's concerned about your daily life. He's concerned about practical matters. And there were several lines available to us, and just briefly, one particular product seemed to be on the surface the best one. They were willing to give us that product exclusively all over the Atlanta metropolitan market. They were going to see that all of the rest of the dealers, the ones that had been handling that, would not handle that product anymore. They were going to give us exclusive rights to it. They had an advertising program that was really excellent. The other product line that we looked at had no advertising. They had other dealers in the market area that would be competing against us. But when we went before the Lord, and I don't recall going before God directly, as I have learned to do now. But I remember seeking his guidance. I don't remember going on my knees and asking, and he says, boom, this is it, and I went and did it. Didn't happen quite like that. But there was a strong leading from the Lord to this particular line. Now, every evidence would say that was the wrong one. Don't do that one. Do this other one. Every natural evidence. But there was something in me. I just knew that I had to do this. Well, we did the other one. Within 6 months, Lois and I were on our way to the French Riviera. We had won a trip with that company. We're gone for a week. First time we'd ever done anything like that. Within a few months later, every other dealer in the market area had been eliminated, and we had the exclusive rights, which we wanted in the first place. Within a couple of more months, the English company, which was the manufacturer, bought out the American distributor, moved their whole operation over here, began a marketing program that is just, it's the best program in the whole industry. And that has become one of our major lines. Now, who knew all that? He did. See, I didn't know any of those things, but he knew all of it. And he knows the same about you. He knows, young person, he knows whether that guy you're dating is a decent guy or whether he's going to get fresh with you. He knows, those of you that are thinking about getting married, he knows what kind of a man that boy is going to make for you. He knows whether that man's going to hang on to Jesus. He knows whether that man's going to stay firm in the faith. He knows whether that man is going to yield and submit to the Spirit of God. He knows whether he's going to be a provider or whether he's going to be not able to provide for you. That's why it doesn't matter what anybody else says.
only what he says. And I think we all know that, don't we? I mean, don't we believe that? That God really knows the end from the beginning and he knows the future? Does any of this help you? I don't know how I would live my life anymore. I've come to rely upon the Lord so intensely. And so, it's so easy to me, but it wasn't always that way. Let me explain to you that it started out easy. Because your natural mind rebels against this kind of thing. Your natural mind will resist it. Say, well, you've got to take the... God's given you a good mind. The devil will fight you tooth and nail because he does not want you to get a sharp picture on Channel Heaven. He doesn't want you to have a sharp picture. Because if you have a sharp picture, you'll walk in joy all the time. You'll walk in victory always. You'll have total and absolute peace because you will know that whatever it is you're doing, you'll know that God is leading you to do it, and you'll know that he is honoring what you're doing. And it doesn't matter who is standing in the way. It doesn't matter how many voices are shouting at you from all the different directions. It doesn't matter all of the evidence to the contrary. You will know that you heard from heaven. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And I'm committed to live that way. I'm committed to live every area of my life that way. In our home, we're going to live that way. In our business, we're going to live that way. In our church, we're going to live that way as long as I'm your pastor. And anything that we do together, we're going to do on that basis. Now, I believe there's some other aspects of this that the Lord would have us to share together from time to time as we go. But I think that's probably enough for us tonight, huh? You? That's enough for us to chew on. You remember these three verses. You remember Matthew 7:8. For he that asketh, receiveth. You remember James 1:5, 6, 7, and 8. And you remember Hebrews 11:6. Now, if you will believe, remember those verses and believe in them, put your faith and your trust in that portion of God's Word, you can get guidance and wisdom from God in any and every situation. We'll talk later about major decisions and that sort of thing, but how many of you have enough trust in God's Word and enough faith in what I've shared with you about out of my own personal experience, that you'd be willing to put what I have told you tonight into practice in the upcoming days and weeks in some things that would like red and blue sweaters is what I mean. Right? It's a good time, you see, to do that. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you tonight, Father, that you care so much about us, that you're so interested in the little things that concern us, just like an earthly father is for his earthly sons, that your care is so personal that if it's of interest to us, it's of interest to you. We thank you, Lord, you didn't say in your word that you'd help those that help themselves. We thank you, Father, that you said, he that asketh, receiveth. We thank you, Lord, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We thank you, Father, that you have guaranteed us by the covenant that you made with us in Jesus Christ, this new covenant we have with you, that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit. You said that the Spirit that dwelled in us would be the one who would lead us and that you'd speak to us there. You gave us example as to what a Spirit-led life is like in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We watch him moving from place to place. We watch him on the day when the friends of Lazarus came and said that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus stayed there in that town for several days and didn't go to Lazarus's aid. We see why not. For you were ministering to him what was going to happen. He knew because he had that perfect and beautiful communion with you. So there was no fear in him for his friend. We thank you, Father, that you'll walk with us and talk with us in the same way if we'll operate in the same faith, simply believing and acting upon what you have told us. Thank you, Father, that we can have such a relationship with you, that it can be that close, it can be that personal, it can be that intimate. We thank you tonight, our Father, for the instruction that you've given us out of your word, that we will have clear and sharp reception. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.